I sure am glad I was here to hear that. And glad I was here last night to hear Brother Don. My, my, what preachers, what preaching. I told Bruce today, I feel like it, I don't even know that I've started scratching the surface of preaching. I don't know. But I enjoyed what you all had to say, both of you. And he's talking about knowing you. I remember the first time I heard you preach at Don's, I think maybe one of the first, second, third conferences. And you preached on Behold the Lamb. And it was really good. I remember it very well. I really do. Remember us meeting at Scott's. And, oh, boy. Been down the road a long time. A lot of the Lord's people enjoy one another. And after all these years, still put up with one another, still enjoy one another. That's only the grace of God and the love of God in a man's heart. Amen. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Thank you all so much for allowing me this blessed privilege to be here. I told Brother Bruce again last night we got home, I said, these people listen so good. They listen so well. They enjoy it so much. Read one verse of Scripture. Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Accepted in the Beloved. Don read last night of Colossians 1:12, where the apostle said, giving thanks unto the Father, who hath made us meet, made us fit, made us able to be a partaker of the saints in light, and hath translated us and put us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. So you see, we accepted in the Beloved. He put us in the kingdom of the Son of His love. And God did that. But it says here, accepted in the Beloved. The Beloved. Song of Solomon 8:3 says this, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Christ is called beloved, and He is beloved. He is beloved. We're in the Beloved. He's beloved of the Father. Oh, how the Father loved His Son. He spoke from heaven when our Lord Jesus was baptized, says, this is my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son. And I tell you, look over in Proverbs chapter 8. He was His beloved Son from all, as long as there's been God, there's been His Son. And in Proverbs chapter 8. He was beloved of the Father in the councils and the creation. And the Father come to glorify His Son. He said, you know, He sent His Son into this world to glorify Him. And He said, Father, glorify Thy Son. And He said, I have glorified it and I'll glorify it again. And oh, look what He said about Him here in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 22. So this is what our Lord Jesus is saying. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before the works of old, when God, before He done anything, I was His, and He was mine, and I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth were. There was no depths I was brought forth, when there were no fountains abounding with water. This is what God says about His Son. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was brought forth, while as yet He had not made the earth or the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the deep, when He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He gave to the waters His decree, that the water should not pass His commandment, when He appointed the foundations of the earth. Listen to this. Then I was by Him, as one brought up with Him, I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him. Christ was always the delight of His Father, daily His delight. Not only is He beloved of the Father, but He's beloved of the church. All of God's people love the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we love Him, Paul said, those that love Him in sincerity. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. When our Lord asked Simon Peter, after he had denied him. He asked him, said, Simon, lovest thou me? Yes, Lord, I do. Simon, do you love me? Lord, I do. I do. And he says, Simon, do you love me? And then he turned around and said, Lord, you know. You know. And I tell you, beloved, and I know this from the depth of my heart and soul, that we, our relationship on this earth is going to come to a close. It's going to come to an end. And it's only Christ that our relationships will be forever. And only with him is our relationship. And I love Christ. And I'll say this without any fear. I love Christ more than I love anything in this world. And I need Christ more than I need anything in this world. When all relationships are gone, when we get to glory, David said, one thing have I desired, and that is you. And I didn't, and there's nobody in heaven but you for me. He said, I don't want to go see my mother. I don't want to go see my father. I'm not going to go see my wife. He said, Lord, I don't have nobody in heaven but you and you alone. And beloved, that's the only hope we have is what we have in Christ. And when you got that relationship with Christ, whatever comes, and that's why Peter says, you know I love you. And I tell you, our Lord Jesus Christ, we don't love him as we should. Don't love him as he's worthy. Don't love him as we want to. But he knows. He knows in our hearts that we love him. We love him. We need him. And I tell you, not only is he beloved of the church, of his blessed people, but he's beloved of the angels. The angels just constantly praise him and bless him and honor him and shout hallelujah and glory, glory, glory and holy, holy, holy. Constantly, he's beloved. And that's what he says. He's the beloved of the Father. And I tell you, we accept in the beloved. Let me give you 3 points, just 3 little old points. First of all, I'm going to talk about our union with Christ. Accepted in the beloved. Secondly, I want to talk about this condition of us being in Christ. This glorious condition. And then how in the world we got in Christ. How we got there. First of all, we in the beloved. Let's talk about our union with our Lord Jesus Christ. Don dealt with this so wonderfully last night, our union with him. But I tell you what, I know this, that we were in union, we was in our Lord Jesus Christ's heart before the world ever began. We were in his heart, we was loved of him, we were chosen of him, had his affection set on us before the world ever began. He said this in Jeremiah said, I've loved you with an everlasting love, and with cords of loving kindness have I drawn thee. And he sold us over, and our Lord Jesus said in John 13:1, having loved his own, not just anybody, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. I want you to look at several scriptures with me tonight. And our first one I want you to look at with me is John 11:5. This is wonderful. Oh, we're in our Savior's heart. And you know, I don't know how else to say it, but in his heart, there was that disciple whom Jesus loved. That every time that John was mentioned, he said, that disciple whom Jesus loved. That disciple whom Jesus loved. And look what he said about, you know, in verse 4, Jesus heard. Martha and Mary said to the Lord, said, he whom thou lovest is sick. And heard, the Lord heard and said, this sickness not unto death, but for the glory of God, that Christ might be glorified thereby. Now look what it said here. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Wouldn't you love to have your name put there? Now Jesus loved Larry Chris. Jesus loved Daryl Harmon. But I tell you what, you can put your name in there. Now, Jesus loved. Jesus loved. He calls them by name. He loves his sheep and he calls them by name. And that's why he says, and look over here in John 15:9. Just put your name there. Look in John 15:9 now. Talking about love. Oh, we were in his heart. Look what he said here. As the Father hath loved me. Now how reckon you how the Father loved his blessed Son? As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Ever how the Father loved me, that's the way I love you. Continue in my love. You see, beloved, in Adam, we fell from life to death. We fell from uprightness into sin. But I tell you, we can't fall out of Christ our Lord. We can't fall out of Him. No, no. As Eve was in Adam, when Adam was first made, before the fall, Eve was in Adam, and that's the way we are in Christ. And beloved, we cannot get out of Christ. These people who think you can be lost again, how do you get out of a body? How do you get out of a person? And how do you get out of union with the person? And that, as Eve was in Adam before the fall, we were in Christ before the fall. And I'll give you a couple of illustrations how we're so one with our Lord. I want you to turn to Exodus 28. Now everybody knows about the high priest. The high priest, you know, he had these beautiful garments on. And he went before God for the people. He went before God. And you know, the high priest, he had garments, and he had these stones upon his shoulders. And then he had this breastplate on. He had four stones here, 12 stones on his breastplate. And all these stones on his shoulder and also on his breastplate had names written on them, engraven on them. And beloved, when that high priest went before God, he had the names of all the children of Israel on him in two places. First of all, on his shoulders to carry the burden of them and the weight of them as a memorial before the Lord. And then on his breast to show him that he also had them on his heart and also loved them and protected them in this glorious thing. Now look what it said here in Exodus 28. In verse 11. Now there were six stones. And all these names on six. One on each shoulder. And with the work of an engraver in stone, like the engraving of the signet, thou shalt engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. Thou shalt make them to be set in ouches of gold. And thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of memorial upon the children of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for memorial. And there's them two stones up there. Every time he went in the presence of God, he took Israel with him. Every time Christ is in the presence of God, he's got us with him. Got our names on him. Now look over here in verse 29. Oh, bless his name. Listen to what he said in verse 29. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel upon the blessed plate of judgment upon his heart when he goeth unto the holy place for memorial before the Lord continually. On his heart. Now look down verse 36. So he had his names on his heart, on his breastplate. And he bore these names. He bore us on his heart, on his shoulders. And look what he said down verse 36. Now listen to this. Talking about this union and Christ's love and how he had us in his heart. And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, engrave upon it the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And thou shalt put it upon a blue lace that it may be upon the mitre, upon the forefront of the mitre, it shall it be. And it shall be, listen to this, and it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel shall hallow and all their gifts, and it shall be always upon his forehead. Now listen to this, that they may be accepted before the Lord. You talking about a union on his shoulders, on his heart, our names are there, and then that holiness up to bear the iniquities of our holy things. What is that? That's our praying. That's our preaching. That's our listening. That's our singing. Anything we come in a worship service to do, anything that we call worshiping God and all the things and sins involved in it, Aaron bears that holiness before the Lord, not our holiness, his holiness, and we're accepted before the Lord because of him. And that's why, oh, we're accepted in the beloved. Oh, accepted in the beloved. Let me tell you something else back over in our text. Not only accepted and have union with him in his heart. We were in his heart. Loved us. Always loved us. He read it tonight. Oh, to know the depth of the height and the breadth and the width of the love of Christ that passes understanding. Not only that, but we were in Christ's book. We were in such union with our Lord Jesus Christ, we were as in his book. And there's two books in the scripture. Revelation 5, it says this, that there's a book. written within on the backside, and sealed with seven seals. And John sat there and he cried like a baby and he said, now who in the world is worthy to take that book and open that book? And that book contained all the will, the purpose, the names, the everything that God purposed in this world was in that book. Oh, every name of every child of God, every name of every soul that he loved, every name for whom Christ died, and he calls the Lamb's Book of Life. And John began to cry, and all of a sudden there was a lion of the tribe of Judah, a lamb as it had been slain, and the scripture said he went right up to the throne. Walked right up to the throne and wrenching off that throne and took that book out of the hand of God. And he opened all the seals. And beloved, you know what? My name wasn't written in the book of life the day I believed. I believed because my name was already written in the book of life. Ain't that right? A lot of folks say, Ralph, if you believe tonight, so to put another name in the book. If you believe it, because your name's already in the book. Ain't that right, Don? Oh, listen, I tell you what, that's what he says. And then everyone whose name was not written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into outer darkness. Let me show you something in Psalm 139. I hope this will be a blessing to you. Psalm 139. You know, we're in Christ's book. Christ be my first elect, God said, and then chose our souls in Christ our head. But look over here in Psalm 139 just a moment. I'll not hold you very long. Psalm 139, look what it said in verse 13. This is David talking now, talking about God creating him, and all that he done for it when he was made in secret. He said, you possess my reins. You covered me in my mother's womb. You covered me. It's you that created me. It's you that covered me. And I'll praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You're the one that made me. You're the one that created me. And I know my soul knows it what real. Now listen to this. My substance was not hid from thee, the strength of my body. When I was made in secret, he didn't know when he was conceived. His mama didn't know when he was conceived, and his daddy didn't. God said, when you was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, born down here on the world. Born down here. His grandmother was Rahab, like he just said. And then he says, thine eyes did see my substance, my body, everything about me, yet being unperfect. And in thy book, oh, listen to this now. In thy book, all my members were written. My mind, my heart, my will, my affections, my understanding, everything that makes me me, you put it in the book. Which in continuance were fashioned, and when as yet there was none of them, you put me in the book. You wrote everything about me in your book. You see, Christ was the firstborn. And that's why, you know, and in that book, his name's the very first one. Christ the firstborn. He is the first name. He's God's elect, which is chosen in him. And if you can disprove the sonship of the Lord Jesus Christ, you disprove ours too. In all things, our Lord Jesus has the preeminence. And that book that nobody else could open, only he could open it. And he opened that. And because of that, everything's fixed, and he just made us to know it when he opened that blessed book. You see, not only we're in Christ's heart, we're in his book, but we're in his hand as our surety. Now, wouldn't you, people say, well, you think only a handful saved. Yeah, well, I do. I think only a handful saved. But it's his hand. It's God's hand. That's right. There's only a handful saved, but it's God's hand. And that's what you know. We're in his hand as our surety. And what that means, that our Lord Jesus Christ dedicated him, gave himself, and contracted himself, and covenanted himself to stand good for everything that was against us. Every debt, every transgression, every imperfection, every fault, every flaw, everything that was against us, he said, I will stand good for all that's against them. And if I cannot take every one of them and deliver them to you, faultless and without blame, perfect, holy and without blemish, then I'll bear the blame of it. And our Lord Jesus Christ And that word surety means someone who compensates for the lack of quality, incompetence, everything that there could be wrong with a fellow. He said, that's what a surety does. And I tell you, you talking about incompetent? I needed a surety. Not smart enough to do it for myself? I needed a surety. A debt I could not pay, I needed a surety. So he took us in his hand and said, I'll guarantee you. He said, Father, they were thine and you gave them to me. You gave them to me, and I'll bring everyone. And that's what I love about this gospel. It's Christ is responsible for the sheep. God never once looked to me for anything. He never did then. He does not now, and he will not tomorrow. When I lay down to face him as he sung tonight, Christ is all, and if I can able to die with a smile on my face and enter into Christ's glory, God still won't expect nothing from me. What can I possibly give to him? And so when I face God, I'm going to stand there with Christ. He paid every, to the uttermost farthing. Oh, bless his name. I tell you what, Tim James said it like this. He said, you know, we got a double-fisted salvation. Christ said, no man's able to pluck them out of my hand. And he says, no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand, which has gave me. So you got salvation by two fists. God's fist. That's pretty secure, ain't it? That's pretty secure. We're in his hand as surety. We're in his heart and as his heavenly lover. We're in his book as God's elect. And we're in his hand as a surety. It's like when Judah said, oh, take Benjamin, let me take him down there. And if I don't bring him back to me, required of me. And if God don't take us to glory, like John Jasper said, if God don't take us to glory, that's trusted in Christ and Christ died for and redeemed, God's got much more to lose than we do. But I'm telling you, he cannot. I remember years and years ago, one of the first times I heard you preached from Isaiah 42, he shall not fail. I remember you and Henry were preaching down in Nashville years and years ago to a fellow named Bob somebody there that started a church after he'd split from some other place and all that was left was a few splinters. but you and Henry were down there preaching. And I remember, boy, you was over at pulpit and you was doing this here and you said, oh, but he shall not fail. I remember that. And Ed Elmore got that tape and just wore it out. He shall not. He won't fail. He cannot fail. He saved a bunch of failures. But he can't fail. He saved a bunch of incompetence, but he can't fail. He saved a bunch of harlots, but he can't fail. He can't do it. And I tell you, when you was talking about Rahab, whether, you know, Solomon looking at her, I wonder if Rahab thought, you know, I don't know if I'll marry Solomon or not, you know. He may not be the only fish in the sea, you know. God save me. There may be another believer around here. Everybody acts like he had to come down to do that. But I tell you what about her? Yeah, that's, you know, it's when God saves a person, I'll tell you what, that's all it takes. They're holy and perfect right in there. And then I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to say something. And we not only were in his heart, we're in his hand, and we're in his book, but we were in Christ's loins from the foundation of the world. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, were we not in Adam's loins? We're not all descendants of Adam? We inherited his nature. We inherited his sin nature. We can trace, you know, Mary's a great genealogist. She got genealogy for everybody in the county, and people come and get big stacks of paper from her, and people call her all the time, and she could sell books. She knows it frontwards and backwards. But I keep telling her, I said, sweetheart, you're going to go back so far, one of these days you're going to find out you're joined to Adam. but we were joined to Adam, and we were descendants of Adam's. Adam's nature is in us. And when he fell, we fell. One by one man sinned into the world, and death by sin, death passed upon all, for all have sinned. Now, then the other side of that is that we were the seed of Christ. We were chosen of Christ, and we were in Christ's loins. How do you think we got a new nature? How do you think we got a nature that loves God and desires God and desires Christ? And I believe I can prove that from the Scriptures. We were in the loins of Christ from all eternity. We're his seed. Look over in 1 John 3:9. And you go through the scriptures. And you go through Psalm. There are several places where God calls us the seed. You know your seed will be blessed forever. But look here in 1 John 3:9. And that's why he said, you know, he shall see his seed and prolong his day. You know, I was in, let me say it this way. There's my dad, then there's his dad, then there's his dad, then there's his dad, and there's his dad. And then there's his dad, and then there's his dad, and there's his dad, and there's his dad. And I can go back 10 generations. And I was in that tenth, I was as much in that first one as I was in the 10th one. Everything I was and everything I was going to be. My spiritual, my height, my weight, my hair color. Everything about me was in years ago in that seed, years ago. And guess what? I come out just like my daddy. And I was in his loins. And that's the same way we were in Christ. What we are spiritually. What we are spiritually. We got it from Christ. Is that not right? We got it from the seed of Christ put in our hearts. What we are spiritually. What we know spiritually. What we experience spiritually. What we understand spiritually. The wisdom we have. The knowledge we have. The understanding we have. The love we have, the everything we have, it comes with us in Christ. Now look here in 1 John 3:9. Listen to this now. Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin. Why not? For his seed. Whose seed? Christ's seed. The Word of God. The living Word in us. And he cannot sin because he's born of God. Now, how in the world can that be? I don't know, but I know that's what it says, and I believe it. I believe it. Let me show you over in 1 Peter 1:23. 2:20. Yeah, 1:23, I believe. Listen to this. Look in verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. You know what the corruptible seed is? That's what we got. But of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. God takes his seed, and by the preaching of the gospel, he plants a seed in us. And we were in Christ, all the thing that we are spiritually. We are of the Lord. God said we are the Lord's planting. And this, let me see if I can illustrate this way, and I will quit just in a minute. Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. Is that not right? And it says that the less is blessed by the greater. Abraham blessed, Melchizedek blessed Abraham, who was better. But it says that Levi was in the loins of Abraham, and he paid tithes to Melchizedek. Ain't that right? And you know why we worship Christ and love Christ and need Christ and desire him above everything? Because his seed is in us, and that's the Spirit of God's in us. We're the children of God. And I tell you, he's the one that began us again. He's the one that gave us life. And I tell you something about the new birth. Now, you can believe it. I really believe this is so. And if you fellas disagree with me, wait till after the service. Don't do it while I'm up here preaching. But I tell you, when a man is born again, regenerated by the Spirit of God, when that seed of Christ comes to fruition, when a man's regenerated, God brings into existence a person who never existed before. Wouldn't you agree with that? There's a person that God brings into existence that never existed before. And it's a spiritual person. And because of Christ in them, they are a spiritual person. They think spiritually. They look spiritually. They never thought about God. And then one day, they want him more than anything else. They didn't think about sin. And then one day, they want to be done with it more than they want to be done with anything else. One day they wouldn't read the Bible. You could pay them money, sit down and read the Bible, and they wouldn't do it. Now they love the Word of God. And did you ever think in your life that you would come and sit here and listen to two preachers back to back, both of them long-winded, and sit and enjoy it and rejoice in it and delight in it? What in the world took place that made you that way? You know what it is? Christ in you. That life of Christ. Well, let me give you this. And we're not only in his loins, in his book, in his heart, in his hand, but we're also in the very person of Christ. We're in him. We're chosen in him. You said last night, perfect in him, complete in him. And beloved, that's why Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And yet the life that I now live in the flesh, I live it by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now let's look about accepted in the beloved, our glorious condition. That's our union. Very simple. Look at our glorious condition. Back over here in Ephesians, it says this. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He's blessed us first of all with our election, chosen us in him before the world. And he's blessed us with holiness and without blame. He predestinated us, and he done it to Jesus Christ according to his good pleasure. We have redemption through him in verse 7. He has abounded toward us and made known the wisdom to. We have obtained an inheritance in it. And we're justified before God because all blessings are in him. And we accept it only in Christ and Christ alone, because that's the only one God accepts. And let me ask you this. Do you know of a better way to be accepted of God? Do you know of a better way to be accepted of God than accepted in the beloved? Huh? If you find a better way, I've never found a better way. Huh? And you know what that, over in Luke 1:28, it says this. That when the angel came to Mary and said, Hail, thou art highly favored among women. You know what? That's the same word as accepted here. Thou art graciously accepted, highly graced of God. We're graciously accepted and highly, much graced in that word acceptance. That's what it means. In ourselves, rejection. Not acceptable. In Adam, not acceptable. The Arminian, the free willer says, walk worthy and you'll be accepted. Walk unworthy and you'll become unacceptable. But in Christ, acceptable. Come on. That's the Father. Is there any fault you can find in me? No, sir. Law, come and see if you can find anything that I've broken about you. Have I broken any law at all? No, sir. Justice, come on, pull out your sword and see if you can find any sin in me that you can punish me for. I ain't fixed to pull it out. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's Christ that died. Who can condemn? It's God that justifies us. And so we're acceptable. And I'll tell you, beloved, let me tell you this, how it was accomplished. Look back over in our text, and I'm through. Look what it says there. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein, now listen to this, he hath made us accept. He did it. He's made us. Why you accept it? He made you accept it. He made us accept it justly, if I can say it that way. He made us accept it justly because Christ made us able to be accepted. We're accepted by, he hath made us by his power. He says, you know, salvation's of the Lord. He, by his power, he made us accepted. And I do believe it. And I will believe that the Lord Jesus died for me. That there on that cross, he shed his blood from sin to set me free. God made me, put me in Christ. You know, he said, Christ, as Don used it last night. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, God hath made Christ unto us. How is Christ made anything? God has to make Christ unto us. How do we get in Christ? God puts us in Christ. How do we, Christ made wisdom? God made him wisdom. How did he become our redemption? God made him our redemption. How did he become our righteousness? God made him our righteousness. how to become our holiness. God made him our holiness. And let me say this and I'll through. I'll ask you four questions, I'm done. Do you know that holiness is a state of being? You can never be more holy at one time than you can another. Now you think about that. That's right. God is holy. Christ is holy. Could he be more holy at any one time than he are? Are we holy in Christ? Are we sanctified in Christ? Then we cannot be any more holy at one time than we can another. Now I know you're going to feel like you are when you feel real spiritual and you've prayed real good and you've come to the service and you jumped up and down. But that's not the way it is. But let me ask you this four questions. Are you holy and absolutely dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Absolutely, wholly, completely dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you? Second question, do you feel your need of him to make you acceptable to God? That he's the only one can make you acceptable. Do you feel that need of him to make you acceptable to God? Him and him alone. Third question. Do you love him? Do you love him? Just like a marriage is two people. They become one flesh. And the longer the marriage is, the sweeter it gets, and the stronger the union gets. And that's the way it is with Christ. We're joined to him. Do you love him? And the last question is this. Is there life in you right now? Is life in you right now? Is there new life in you? Is Christ in you? Is there new life in you right now? Not tomorrow. Right now. Our Father, oh, our gracious, gracious God in heaven, we bless you for this time to meet here with these dear saints in Alabama, here in Sylacauga. Thank you for the saints who drove and came to worship with us. Thank you for these two preachers, this and Brother Larry, the pastor here. God, I thank you for these men. Used of God, so blessed to my heart so many times. Thank you for the good attention of these people, their generosity, their love. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would cause this church to flourish and to grow. Cause it to bring glory and honor to you. Take this congregation and come among them. Enlarge their tent. Send your sheep in to hear the blessed gospel from this dear man. Thank you for allowing me the privilege for their love and generosity. God bless these dear saints as they go on in their lives, worshiping you and honoring you. We thank you for them in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, brother. Thank you, folks.